Yeah, my car broke down, I ain't got no money, stuck out on the road. Hand me the ride now, won't somebody take me to the rodeo?
Well, thankfully we didn't have any car troubles this time, but we are at the rodeo broadcasting live. I'm Romy, I'm out at the Casa Grande Rodeo Grounds. We've got the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo. Pee-wees are about to start. It'll be my son Remy's first rodeo. So if you hear a little bit of loud noise in the background, I apologize. It's just the announcers calling the riders. They've just started the elite groups. So I'm going to get down here as far away from the PA as I can. But thanks to modern technology, and I've got a satellite unit I'm walking around on, and a hotspot in my pocket with a laptop to see the callers who have lined up to talk to Jay Harper in Outdoor Living Hour. So let's
that means
get
we
to
can start
Karen.
We can start doing the show from the White Mountains on a trout stream in July and August.
Shh. Don't give away all of our secrets, Jay.
Okay, sorry.
We'll just have to see how well the G4 connection in the White Mountains is.
All right.
Let's see. We got Cara next on the line in Peoria at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Cara on a Shamel Ash. Welcome to the program.
Ah, thank you, Rosie. I have a 6-year-old Shamel Ash I put in as a box. And every year I lose my leaves early, and it starts budding out into December. Is there anything I can do with that?
Nope.
It's just a dumb tree?
it's just that's Shamel Ash. That's what they, sometimes they'll do that 2 or 3 times. If we have a warm spell, they'll bud out. Then I've seen them freeze and bud out and freeze and bud out several times during the course of a season. They're more of a tropical ash. They call it evergreen ash over in San Diego. They don't even lose their leaves in a lot of winters. It makes it a really kind of a, I don't think, a great choice if you want an ash tree for here. In fact, if you want an ash tree for here, I really recommend you do a red push pistache, because they're just a lot nicer tree, a lot tougher tree. It's not to say your Shamel Ash won't. There's some big, beautiful Shamel Ash trees around the valley, but that is one of the problems that we have with it.
Old Bernie sure found a niche with that red push pistache, and he's done a great job being at all the different association events, whether it's the Arizona Community Tree Council or the Arizona Nursery Association, and he always brings them, and he always makes sure he's got a couple that he gives out, a couple that he sells, and gets them into the hands of the industry leaders. Well, and I can't tell you anybody that doesn't recommend a red push pistache.
Well, if you drive around right now, you'll see one of the reasons why. They're later coloring up than some of the other trees, but man, they are just bright red with some orange and yellow in there. They're just fabulous, and they are tough. I mean, they take heat. They don't take a ton of water. The drawback would be they're a little slow growing, but we're planting tons of them. If somebody wants that kind of a tree, a classic tree, especially in a lawn area, I just think it's the way to go rather than an ash.
On our property on the west side of our arena, we've put 4, and I plan to put 3 more. That way in the summertime on the west side where the chutes are, the riders and the steers will be in the shade, and then in the wintertime we've got the direct sunlight. I love them.
Good plan. You bet.
Rollins next on the line at Queen Creek at 1-888-767-4348. Wants to talk about tipus. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I had a landscaper sold us on these tipu trees, and I don't know anything about them, how big they're going to get. And I got one that's got one branch over the summer, grew about 4 feet out all by itself. Will the rest of the tree keep up with it?
Oh, it should. That's another tree I really like. It is an evergreen tree. It's a little bit tropical. Cold doesn't seem to generally bother it too much. Fast growing, yellow flowers. It's a nice tree. You're never going to get a tree that's going to grow perfectly the same, every limb, every branch, all in the same direction. But eventually it'll even itself out. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. One more question. There's one branch probably half the size, twice the size of my thumb, that's growing 3 feet out above the ground, which, can I trim that off right now, or should I wait till...
No. You can do that kind of trimming just about any time it occurs. If you've got a low limb or a limb here and a limb there, that's not affecting the overall canopy of the tree, I would feel free to do it, you bet.
We appreciate the call, Roland. And as we move into Mesa to bring Charlie into the conversation, we've got a couple texts.
Yes, sir. Horses.
Are you saddled up, man? Or are you got?
There's... I am not exaggerating when I say there are more horses than people at a rodeo, especially a junior rodeo, where you have people that don't always have an all-around house, all-around horse. They may have a really good barrel horse, and then they've got to change horses and get on a good roping horse. Some people have more than one roping horse, whether they're doing breakaways or team roping. So there are more horses than contestants.
I think it's kind of fitting. You know, the American Farm Bureau Convention.
Is
in Phoenix, right downtown. So we've got the American Farm Bureau Convention going on and the Junior Rodeo going on all at the same time.
I thought the caller had a horse in his tipu tree.
Yeah, tied to the horse tied up to the tip.
Well, our text questions that have come in, somebody wanted to know the brand name of that pre-emergent you had talked about ending the last segment.
Dimension, like the old... singing group, the Fifth Dimension. It's Dimension.
Okay, and that's available at Harper's Nursery, I assume?
Certainly, you bet. We stock lots of it.
And then, great question, what can I plant to attract hummingbirds, and when should they be planted?
Well, the nice thing about hummingbirds is they're a great winter here in the valley. There's hummingbirds here year-round. But we get lots of them in the wintertime down in the warmer climates. So things that bloom in the winter are something to consider. So Mexican honeysuckle is a good one. Chuparosa is another really good one. Those are both great hummingbird attractors. If it stays a little bit warm enough, any of the Tacomas, so the Orange Jubilees and the Sparkies and the Bells of Fire, all of those are great. Red Fairy Duster, the Calandra, does a great job, and it'll bloom, in the wintertime. So, and of course, summer blooming is pretty easy here. There are a lot of things that bloom in the summer. Hibiscus attract hummingbirds. Also emus. Some of the red emu and the yellow emus that are blooming this time of year are also great.
Numbers of ways to communicate with the broadcast. We've got text 411-923 is how those individuals got in, and we're going to go back to the lines at 1-888-767-4348 and bring Charlie in and Mesa on ground squirrels. Oh, the endless battle.
Thank you for taking my call. Got ground squirrels. They're burrowing underneath my front porch slab, and they're really busy. I'd like to know, I've got a trap set out and I'm not having much success.
Well, what are you baiting the trap with?
That'd be a good question to ask, I think. I use some peanut butter. I don't know. What do you suggest?
Well, peanut butter's always worked pretty well, I think, over the years. You could put a little bit of some grain in with that peanut butter. Might not be a bad idea. Boy, if anybody else has any suggestions, I've always found peanut butter works pretty well. Just maybe add a little bit of sweetened grains to it. If some molasses horse feed or something like that, would probably work really well. Anything that's a seed or a grain-based type product generally is what they're going to be really attracted to.
And there's no silver bullet for ground squirrels. If they were whoever invents that will be a millionaire overnight. You can go let them smoke bombs, live traps, snares. They've got all day to figure out how ways to get around the way.
It's kind of like you just have to combine forces and try them all and use them all and rotate them, and they get used to you know, move the trap a little bit. They'll get used to the trap being in the same, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes it takes a while for a trap to be in one place before they'll even go in it, you know, so it's something new. It's strange. It hasn't been there before. So, yeah, it's as much art as it is science, I think, when it comes to trapping roof rats and ground squirrels and gophers and all of those kind of critters.
Good luck, Charlie, on your ground squirrel attack. Let's move to Mesa. I'm sorry, Tucson now, and bring Gilbert into the line, who wants to talk about soil preparation. Gilbert from Tucson, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Harper. And I'd like to know if it's okay, because I think I heard it in Rosie's with you. But I think I've heard it from, and it said that it was okay to put organic soil on trees, established trees, for their roots.
Well, I'm not sure what you heard, but we don't want to add any soil level up onto the trunk of the tree. If the tree is established and growing, you know, we don't want to add soil so it's up higher on the trunk of the tree than it's been growing at. In fact, one of the most common mistakes when planting a tree to begin with is that they get planted too deeply. So you can always spread a little organic compost or mulch or shredded bark or something like that around the base of a tree, but certainly no soil should be put up higher on the trunk. Now, if it's out away from the trunk and you've got some roots that are exposed and you're not going to affect the trunk of the tree, then certainly you could spread some soil out in and around under the canopy of the tree, but don't put any up higher on the trunk.
We appreciate the call, Gilbert. Enjoy your tree mending on your soil prep. We're going to move to Richard next on the line with grapevines. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
All right.
Yes,
I'm,
sir.
North Phoenix. I wanted to thank you for producing the show. First of all, great job, guys. Thank you that there's somebody out there talking about gardening. I love just learning and having an informed audience out there with people that do the same hobbies as I. Question about my grapevines right now. What should I be doing with my grapevines? They're about maybe 4 or 5 feet tall. First year, I've got about 8 of them. And they're just getting yellow and bare.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do some reading on them, but maybe with a little advice, I can get these things to flourish in the spring.
Well, first year, I wouldn't be too severe on the pruning, but this would be the time of year to prune grapevines as well. They are deciduous. They lose their leaves in the winter, as you mentioned. They're in the process of that now. So probably this first year, you might just want to do some directional pruning. You know, if something's kind of going off in a direction you don't want it to grow, you can eliminate those canes, you know, kind of get it going where you want it to go. Maybe just tip them back a little bit. But I would be a little bit careful about over pruning the first year. And then as we get into the next couple of years, then you can go in and start doing some thinning and some selective pruning that way to improve your production. But you don't have to be pruned much. They can be if need be, but that first year, I think I would be a little bit conservative on what you did.